You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
I had a friend on the Liberty. They tried to sink her to the bottom of the sea. She kept on floating into history. Unmarked jets flew down from the sky and shot up our ship, and nobody knew why. A torpedo boat blew a hole in her side. A lot of sailors hurt, and 34 died. Come to find out it was part of a plan. They'd sink our ship, she'd go down with all hands. Blame it on Egypt to trick us in a war. The trick didn't work, the crew showed them what's for. Did you have a friend on the Liberty? I had a friend on the Liberty. Who tried to sink her? It was Israelis. But she kept on floating into history.
This is Wardo Rants, and my name is Eddie. Well, there's a lot to talk about today, and I'll tell you, I think I want to start off with this whole Easter thing, where Trump basically spent most of his time on his little weekly address talking about the Jews and all their struggles and how great they were and what they had offered and done for humanity and on and on and on and on and on and on. Kind of reminded me of when he grabbed the GOP nomination. Did he go to the veterans? Did he go to the military? Did he go to any of his base or anything like that? Well, no, he went straight to AIPAC and promised how great he would be for them. Well, we have a rogue nation. It's run by a Jewish mafia, and the way I see it, we are in phase three of the Oded Yenin plan. That would be the Greater Israel Project, led up by none other than Donald J. Trump. The war on terror was phase one, and it got its start back in 1979 with the Jerusalem Conference on International Terrorism. Phase one followed its agenda through to Boy George Bush, not Culture Club, but little Boy George Jr., with the ignition set off by the events of 9/11. These can be seen clearly through by following the documents of the Oded Yenin plan, a clean break strategy for securing the realm, and also PNAC papers called for a catalyzing and catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, phase two was continued through by Obama continuing his balkanization of the Middle East, and he's done so quite famously. And then we got phase three with the closer Trump with his bullshit art of the deal with an ego and a pencil deck illegally attacking countries at will who have done nothing, absolutely nothing, to the United States. Following through on some topics that I want to go through. Oh, let me also say, the phones will be closed for this show. We have a guest coming on hour two, just so you know, and I'm only going to get an hour with her. But an amazing woman who stood against, and actually, in my opinion, put her life on the line, because she was the only one that really hammered the Pentagon. That would have been at the time, that would have been Donald Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense. He questioned him over $2.3 trillion. Also questioning Donald Rumsfeld over DynCorp and how they had been getting all these contracts after they were exposed as child trafficking and trafficking in women. And also demanded an investigation on 9/11, and as well as the fact that they had, it was either three or four war games going on simultaneously, which is kind of par for the course if you follow any of the false flag attacks or shootings or whatever you want to call them. They all seem to have drills going on at the same time. We can talk about that, but that's not important. The fact that what's important is this lady put it out there. She showed an incredible bravery and some actual tenacity. Anyway, that's going to be our second hour guest, and her name is Cynthia McKinney. So you guys stick around for that. It should be quite the toss-up. So anyway, and we could talk about 9/11, DynCorp, trafficking, and all this other stuff. But what I kind of been throwing through my mind was this whole thing about how Bannon seemed to be going at it with Kushner and all this other crap. And so I started putting together a little connect the dots kind of thing. And what I come up with was, see, DynCorp, Child Trafficking Haiti, Laura Silsby, Clinton Foundation, that who all was that we care about was pumping money into the Clinton Foundation. One of them would be Tillerson when he was with ExxonMobil. And the other one, actually, Trump was donating to the Clinton Foundation. And then the next on the little list of the hierarchies came up with Bannon and the CNP, Robert Mercer, and Kushner. You know, the one that owns 666, what is it, Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, where they are doing the RFID chips with the company called Lucent Technology. Well, so who was the big donor and the big one to push for Robert, for Trump to be president? And his top guy was actually Robert Mercer. As it turns out, it was Kushner who brought in Cambridge Analytica, which is Robert Mercer's, and along with that, they get their boy Bannon from Jewish mafia or Mossad propaganda rag called Breitbart News. So what I kind of started seeing, or in my mind, is seeing how this thing is kind of, there's too many ties with these guys. And well, this little feud with Kushner and Bannon and this whole thing about the Make America Great slogan and the getting the good old boys ruffled up so that they think Trump's one of them. So they bring in, they get this Steve Bannon guy with this Council on National Policy. I don't know if it's a cover for him or what, but he's involved with this Council for National Policy, also tied in with the Cambridge Analytica. And, well, so they're supposed to be having this feud in the White House between Kushner and his wanting to go on with his globalization crap, and Bannon supposedly going to want to bring on this whole America Great nationalism and whatnot. But I think it's kind of a game that they're playing. But as I keep digging on this, I find out that who else is in on this? And that would be Soros. Well, as it turns out, Soros gave Kushner $250 million, and I know he'd given Trump 150 to 160 million for his Chicago building. And so where's this taking us? Where's this going? So anyway, I think a good place to start would be to read this little thing, the Puppet String News is the name of it. And this one says that Trump needs to kick Soros puppet Kushner out of the White House. That was on April 8th, actually. So the globalist billionaire George Soros funded management, Soros Fund Management has been exposed funding Jared Kushner's real estate finance startup charade or cadre to the tune of $250 million, according to sources close to Kushner. A source familiar with the financing arrangement told the New York real estate website The Real Deal that Soros has a long-time productive relationship with the Kushner family. Business Insider first reported the existence of $250 million credit line from Soros, kind of like he did with Trump on the Chicago Tower, more in line with George Soros' globalist vision. The explosive news comes as Kushner has allegedly seized control of the Trump White House, alienating Steve Bannon and dismissing Trump's America First policy. With Kushner in control of the administration is being pushed in the direction more in line with George Soros's globalist vision. It goes on, sorry for Ivanka, like I really am, but your husband is a major issue inside the White House by being paid $250 million credit line from Soros back in June of 2016. President Trump needs to take care of the issue immediately and get back to Steve Bannon's his top aide as his top aide in the White House, since Kushner accepted the $250 million payout from the former Nazi collaborator and destroyer of Western societies, George Soros. No offense to Ivanka, but your husband is an obvious threat inside the White House for accepting the money from George Soros. Well, they're two peas in the pod, as far as I'm concerned. George Soros has some of his claws into both Trump and Kushner. So, let's see here. Now, one thing I wanted to do is with this Rogue Nation and this way it's been being run by this Chabad Mafia or whatever you want to call them, I actually had prior done a film where it's basically Humanity Rise, and it's where I'm calling for folks to join together so that we can somehow find ways to put an end to this madness. It's madness. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, they're not going to quit until there's nothing left. And so anyway, I did this video and I used a couple things on this in contrast to I used actually Muammar Gaddafi and the I guess you'd call it the real liberalism or the real socialism as a pure form of actually letting the people take benefit from the land that they live in, their country. I mean, it's just like here in America, we got all this supposedly public lands, but the people don't get any benefit for it, from it. The who only one that benefits is corporations, well, and the government, you know, because they sell it off. And do you think they give you anything for it? No, they waste it on wars and military-industrial complex. So what I used in this was the 45 declared goals of the communist takeover of America. And they start off like this: U.S. acceptance of a coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engage in atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Four, permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliations and regardless of whether or not the items could be used for war. Five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Six, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Seven, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China into the UN. Eight, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. Nine, prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend its tests as long as negotiations were in progress. Let's see here. 10, allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. Let's see. 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe that the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometime these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. Now, I see that going on anyway. These guys don't care about any kind of oath of anything. Let's see, 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Well, they don't need access to it because Israel steals everything and basically gives it to them and whoever the hell else, oh, China and whoever else. That's kind of an arrangement, I believe, that they got with the military contractors. They can continue to milk money out of the taxpayers. Oh, guess what? Iran got your drone. Well, actually, as it turns out, the drone was given to Iran by the military industrial, by the, who was that, Raytheon? I think that was Raytheon. They gave it to Iran so they have an excuse to go back and milk you for coming up with another latest, greatest crap. So let's see here. I think I'm at 15. Capture one or both political parties in the U.S. Well, for a long time, we pretty much see that it's been same side, two different sides of the same coin. The only thing they do is keep you squibbling over little bullshit policies that, of course, you are concerned about. But these guys don't give a shit one way or another about them. The thing that they do, though, is on any crucial policies, they both are married at the hip on them. Like, oh, let's see here, giving $38 billion over 10 years to Israel. Oh, yeah, Israel, you can go ahead and bomb the shit out of the Palestinians. Let's go right ahead. Oh, you want to attack Syria? That's cool too. We don't mind. So, you know, that's kind of how they roll. So, let's see, 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institution by claiming their activities violate civil rights. We see that going on all the time. So, let's see here, we got 17, get control of schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of the teachers' associations, and let's see here, put the party line in textbooks. Well, and another one that I see going on, and who is that? That would be Eric Prince's sister, and I can't even remember her name off the top of my head, but what's her goal is to privatize education. What will that do? Well, it'll be kind of like privatizing just about anything else they want to steal from you and milk to get gains for themselves. We'll just put it that way. More control for the government. So, let's see here. Gain 18, gain control of all student newspapers. Here in Oregon, when I was doing my Roseburg shooting research, I was out at the college quite a bit, and their newspaper for that junior college campus is called Mainstream Media. I guess that's true then. So 21, let's see, I'm sorry, 20, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Check. 22, continue discrediting American culture as degraded by degrading all forms of artistic expression. You can go down into Los Angeles, which I came from, and you can look at the art they're promoting down there. It's all basic garbage that is really... like this one gal, she was getting like $250,000 for her painting, and nobody ever heard of her. But what she did, she took pictures of her vagina, and then she did some kind of weird impressionist or whatever you call it, Jew art. So, an American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and substitute it with shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. 23, control art critics and their directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, and meaningless art. And I would go into the motion picture industry, which I have had a history of working in the industry. And the funny thing is, if you want to get a Grammy or Emmy or whatever the hell they call their big wig, I think it's a Grammys, you want to get a Grammy, do another Holocaust movie, you know? So let's see here. Break down cultural standards by morally by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazine, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And they're jumping one further nowadays, and that's to make bestiality and pedophilia and about, I think, 11 or so other crazy, sickening things legally and legit. 27, infiltrate churches and replace reveal religion with social religion, discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Let's see here. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, and a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Let's see here. Number 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teachings of American history on the grounds that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. See here, support any social movement to give centralized control over any part of culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. 33, eliminate all laws or procedures for which interfere with the operations of the communist apparatus. 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Nobody will cry over that. Let's see. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. 37, infiltrate and gain control over big business. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over these who oppose communist goals. Let's see here. We got a break coming up here, so we'll get back to that on the other side, and I'll go ahead and read one or two more. Let's see. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudice, mental blocks, and retardation of children as to... I'll see you on the other side, everybody.
Rushkoff on why Jews are dangerous.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
Red, white, and blue was in your heart, and I never thought I'd ever see the day when I'll hear you say,
welcome back, everybody. Okay, so we'll continue on this Illuminati, the communist takeover of the U.S. So discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of the parents, attribute prejudice, mental blocks, and retardation of children, suppressed influence of the parents. 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use a united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-governance. 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. Well, that's already been done. Let's see here, we're giving away. Repeal, 45, repeal the Connolly reservation so that the United States cannot prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. Give the world court jurisdiction. Yeah, give it to that governing body somewhere. I don't even know where the hell they're at. But let's see. Over domestic problems, giving the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. Well, with the exception of corporations. So then I found this other one, which was basically Adam Weishaupt. And his, he had 25 Illuminati's New World Order, 25 goals, which pretty much mirrored the communist takeover. And we already know that it was Judaism that, or, well, we can call it Rothschild Zionist or whatever you want to make of it, people that formed the Bolshevik Revolution, that murdered Tsar Nicholas II and his family. And the Rothschilds hated their guts. I mean, they were Aryans, by the way, just so you know. And these same individuals are the ones that created the Soviet Union or communism. That would be in Russia and China. That was both created by the same individual. So anyway, here's the Illuminati's 25 goals. One, all men are more easily inclined towards evil than good. The below goals cause this by making us poor and having to feed our family. Two, preach liberalism. Both parties are liberal. There's a liberal light and full liberal socialist. That's what this thing says. It's kind of interesting. So use the idea of freedom to bring about class war. Freedom of what? Freedom to have others have? Excuse me. Freedom to have what others have? Equality of wealth? Spread of wealth? True freedom is creating your own wealth without somebody else taking it from you. Any and all means should be used to reach the Illuminati goals as they are justified, and the bankers are doing just that. Number five, the right to lie in force. Well, we can look at no further than, anybody pretty much in politics. Lawyers and mainstream media. I guess all three of those fit that bill. Six, the power of our resources must remain invisible until the very moment it has gained the strength that no cunning or force can undermine it. They're taking our resources through bailouts and raising our taxes. Obama now wanted to raise taxes, and Trump will eventually as well. redistribute what little wealth we have to the elite and take our homes. Now, you can follow you in Agenda 21 and see even more depth what's going on with all that. Let's see here. I guess we're going to be on number 7, activation of mob psychology to control the masses. Hello, Soros. Soros. Using the public sector unions to crush state governments, using the unions to have us believe that something is owed to us from the taxpayers, redistribution of wealth to union leaders through dues, which gives the elite more money to influence and control the populace. That's kind of weird. I'm not quite sure I agree wholeheartedly on that, but that's part of this. Let's see here. Use alcohol, drugs, corruption, and all forms of vice to systematically corrupt youth of a nation. Well, yeah, TV. Let's see here. The fashion industry, music industry, all those are their tools that they use to do this. See, 9, seize property by any means, crush the economy, foreclosure of private property, and here we go. Thanks for the new property. Oh, and by the way, you want to throw that car in while you're at it? Let's see here. Number 10, use slogans such as equality, liberty, fraternity, delivered into the mouths of the masses in psychological warfare. Union leaders are doing a good job. I don't know why they're picking at union leaders, but I guess because they've been subverted by through the communist goals. Maybe that's what they're kind of looking at. So collectivism instead of individualism, which we see going on quite a lot. And there's some good work out there on collectivism if you care to dig into it. War should be directed so that the nations on both sides are placed further in debt, and peace conferences conducted so that neither combatant obtains territorial rights. That's what's happening all over the place. That's with the whole balkanization crap of the Middle East. So you don't think that they're getting property nabbed up? Look at, North Iraq and the Kurdish area. It appears that Rothschild's got all the choice stuff with all the resources, oil. They're on par. So anyway, let's see here. 12 members must be. Members must use their wealth to have candidates chosen and placed in public office who will be obedient to their demands and will be used as pawns in the game by those behind the scenes. Their advisors will have been reared and trained from childhood to rule the affairs of the world. Obama was one. His parents and grandparents were both CIA. George Bush Jr., he surely was one. Papa was a CIA dirtbag criminal from the gate. And even George Bush Sr. was probably, I can't think of the word. Well, anyway, they're indoctrinated from youth. There's a term, I can't think of it. So anyway, let's just move on. And then Trump. You look at Trump for the last, since the 1980s. They've been, here's that word I needed again. Jesus Christ. They've been coaching him all along. At any rate, so let's see. 15, create industrial depression and financial panic, unemployment, hunger shortage of food, and use control by of the masses or mob, and then use the mob to wipe out all those who stand in their way. Same as above. Let's see. Agents will come forward after fermenting traumatic situations and appear to be saviors of the masses. That sounds kind of like Trump. He's the only one that can do the job. He's your savior. He's your agent of change. All that same garbage. So in this one, this is a little bit old, but in this article, it's Wisconsin comes to mind. Governor tries to avoid layoffs. Unions, collective society wants taxpayers to pay, and they both are broke. So let's see here. Number 16, infiltrate into secret Freemasons to use them for Illuminati purposes. Duh. That's kind of been at the heartbeat of the founding of America, if I remember correctly. So let's see here. 16, infiltrate into the secret Freemasons and use them for Illuminati purposes. Did I read that already? Expound the values of systematic deception, used high-sounding slogans and phrases, and advocate lavish promises to the masses, even though they cannot be kept. Sounds kind of like business as usual. So let's see, 18 detailed plans for resolutions. Discuss the art of street fighting, which is necessary to bring the population into speedy subjection. Can't fight with the mobs. Let's see here. 19, use agents as advisors behind the scenes after wars, and use secret diplomacy to gain control. 20, establish monopolies that lean toward world government control. GE, that would be a good one. Yeah, they pretty much have the energy sector, them and ExxonMobil and outfits like that. But GE is a good one. They're really getting involved in politics lately. I haven't purchased a GE product in at least 10 years and never will do it again, and most of it's junk. Let's see, 21. Use high taxes and unfair competition to bring about economic ruin by control of raw materials, organize agitation among the workers, and subsidize their competitors. Let's see here. Obama, back to his spread of wealth, taxed everyone making over, what was it, $250,000. Now, small business will be laying off workers to stay afloat, and, you know, the same old story. And, of course, all the big wigs get, they pay no taxes. Another downward spiral coming. And let's see here, now that they have destroyed manufacturing over the last 30 years and killed the tax base, they will destroy the only thing that we have left, and that is small business. That's going to be a shame to see that, but we do see, can any startup businesses, can they even stay afloat? It's usually it's like 2 years. I've been in business. 2 years is kind of what it takes. You better be able to float for that long. But with the way things are going, it's tougher and tougher, especially they're pushing everything to internet and Amazon and all that kind of stuff. So it really makes it tough for these guys, these little mom and pop places. So let's see, 22, build up armaments with police forces and soldiers sufficient to protect our needs. We've been seeing this going on for, well, let's see, probably at least the last 5 years. So 23, members and leaders of the one world government would be appointed by their directors. Spooky dude, Soros, the liberal billionaire, already has his puppet strings on. Well, let's see, most of the government, most of the media has already crushed over five countries. 24. Infiltrate into all classes and levels of society and government. for the purpose of fooling, bemusing, and corrupting the youth members of society by teaching them theories and principles that we know to be false. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, the latest with trying to win over the Tea Party. Let's see here. I guess we'll close that one out. The national and international laws should be used to destroy civilization and enslave and control the people. Let's see, Obama going straight to the UN now for war instead of Congress. That was, well, hell, Trump doesn't even do that. So, yeah, you know. All right, so let's see what other kind of... this is not going to take very long, this part. That's in contrast to what I used in my film, Humanity Rise, where I used these two as the kind of the dark side and the reality of where we're heading, as opposed to what I would consider a true leader of his country, who did, in my opinion, what was best for the people and shared the resources of the land, of the people's land. And that was Muammar Gaddafi. And, you know, with just what he was doing for the people, like pregnant mothers got funds for them and the children, married couples got a house and a wedding gift for something like $50,000. You wanted to go to school. If they didn't have the school there in Libya, they would pay for you and per diem to go wherever you needed to go to gain this education. You wanted to become a farmer. Oh, let's see. No utility bills. Gas was 14 cents a gallon. When I say no to utility bills, there was no electric bills whatsoever for the whole country. Let's see. Then you wanted to be a farmer. You got land. You got probably the machinery. You got the seeds and whatever else you needed. And then the kicker of it all, he formed the green movement, or found, which I guess some people would call primary water, which is sets below the aquifers, which is water in its purest form, and was bringing it to all of Libya. So Libya was becoming self-sufficient. They don't want you being self-sufficient, and you're going to hear Cynthia talk about this one. They don't want unity. They don't want you talking to each other. We're going to talk about that when I get her on. She has some good things to say about that. At any rate, so... yeah, and then, of course, you know, you really piss off the bankers when you try to cut them out of the loop, and that's what he did when he was formulating the gold dinar. It was gold-backed dinar, so it was actually something that would have been good for the whole continent of Africa. So, I don't know. You tell me. Do you think humanity should rise? Do you like the parallels, the contrast between the two things that I just sold you? All humanity deserves to live in peace and freedom and to have a shot at a decent life. All humanity deserves that. And so I continue with my call to join together, share the things that you learn with people, and help them to understand the hour. It's the 59th minute. That's meaning 1 minute to midnight. That's where we sit right now. It's not about fear-mongering or anything like that for me. I've been watching this stuff for a long time, through the economics, you know, the war, what's it going to do? Multiple, everything's multiple layered. It's going to be their cover for, you know, the whole global economy tanking. Well, it's actually the bankers, and they cannot continue with this fraud that they've been doing with this usury-based BS. And, you know, one of the things that really gets me is these guys want to call it, what's the term, sustainability. How is it sustainable when you send your raw materials halfway around the country and then they have some person, these people would mainly be Chinese, working and making these products that for a kick in the ass and a bowl of rice, then ship them all the way back over, not to mention the military that has to kind of safeguard all these trade routes and whatnot, and just the sheer expense of shipping stuff back and forth. Talk about waste. Rather than to have everything decentralized, which is what we want, decentralization of power, decentralization of manufacturing, meaning make it here, sell it here. If we like a European product or a Chinese product, we can buy it. But let them build their own crap over there. And if they like an American product, they can. They can go ahead and get it too. But, you know, these guys, these thieves are, they're short-sighted. They don't think anything through for a long-term goal, with the exception of trying to gain their agenda. And their agenda is to control everything, lock, stock, and barrel. And control everything from one central location. I see fight that. We want decentralization. Don't play. Don't vote. Don't vote for their crap. That, you know, you vote, you're giving consent. I'm for all that. Matter of fact, I kind of like the idea of managed anarchy. I kind of really, people to get the bad taste in their mouth when you say anarchy. Well, actually, it's really just the people taking care of their own. They're doing it at the local level everywhere. And to me, that is probably the best solution for anything. The system's broken. I wouldn't have anything to do with anybody that wants to play in the system, because they're going to work for the corporation of the United States and their owners of the corporations, the bankers. So, I don't know. It's a pretty hell of a contrast, and I'll tell you right now, I think that people across the whole globe would, if they heard this message, would surely stand with what's right for everybody, you know, and that these individuals do not own this globe. This is not theirs. It's ours. I mean, they want to be part of it, fine. Are they God's chosen people? I doubt it. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's kind of racist. I'm better than you. Okay. Try being a white guy and say that. And you'll get called all kinds of names. At any rate, so you got Trump sending more troops to continue this war, to destroy the full Middle East. And let me remind everybody, what goes on over there will be coming home. Mark my words on that. Everything that goes on abroad comes back here. Look at what's going on in Europe with this so-called Muslim invasion, which I said in one of my films, it's more like a bunch of pissed-off Arabs. There's no war-torn people coming over, like from Syria. You don't see children and mothers. You see guys that are ready to go fight, and they are. That's an army, an invading army, but sent over by who? By this Jewish construct. So, you know, And it's going on here. Matter of fact, Trump has not stopped anything. There's no vetting process in place. The numbers are still coming in just as they were under Obama. Trump is the continuation of Obama, as Obama was the continuation of Trump. And this crap needs to stop. It needs to stop now. And we look at, like I said, it is 1 minute to midnight. We're at that doom and gloom portion of the clock. Now, listen, everybody, we got a break coming up, but I want you to stick around because this is going to be an amazing talk with Dr. Cynthia McKinney.
Hey, Wardo, do you want me to take out the half hour break in the next hour so that you can have the full hour uninterrupted?
You know what? It's up to you, bro.
Yeah, I'll take that out. Let's get as much time out of your guests as possible.
She could commit to the whole show. I tried and tried and tried. She called me last night. She's cool people, man. I like that gal.
All right, looking forward to it.
Okay, bro. Well, so we're going into a break right now, right?
That's correct. Less than a minute here.
Okay. Awesome. This system is so broken. I wouldn't try to fix it. It needs to be trashed. I think anybody with half a lick of sense would say, you know, don't try to fix that thing. It's too broken. You look at the degradation of society that comes out of the cesspool. Who in their right mind would even want to get in it to even try to pull the plug, let alone fix anything, like any cracks in the, you know, in the base or whatever? It's retarded. So this whole Trump thing, you know, make America great, which, by the way, is not his. That was used by many different presidents, and the last one that I remember that used that was actually Ronald Reagan. So, you know, this whole thing is a freaking illusion. And I'll say right now, Bannon, Kushner, Soros, all those guys, they're all in on this thing together. They want to play Soros, this, blah, blah, blah. All right, you guys, see you back after the break.
President and CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs.
There are two issues at the top of our agenda at the very moment. One is the unbelievably important immigration debate in this country, to make sure that immigrants from around the world, particularly those from south of our border, have a chance here.
And here's an interview with Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Essentially, what you're saying is that in these both, you're together with both Muslims
yes.
And people of other denominations.
And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers.
Thanks, Jews.
Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Walls ran red, kith and kin all lying dead, none to follow, none to chase, fear and...
Wow. Well, welcome back, everybody, and I don't see Cynthia in the room. I tried calling her number. I didn't get through. Are you... Kyle?
Yes.
8:55, I asked her to come on. That would be the accurate time, correct?
I think she's on the East Coast. I don't know, though. She might have gotten that confused.
She is.
Okay. Yeah, then...
Georgia is the same time, right?
Yeah, if you email her number to me, I can try calling out to her.
Okay, let's see here. Just a second, bro.
Or you could use the chat feature.
I'm going to do that right now. So it's...
So, let's see. Anything we can discuss while you're doing this?
Well, I don't know. You want to discuss?
It's kind of hard to do anything when you're talking. So people don't realize that. You know when?
Here we go.
All right.
There it is, right there, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah, anything you want to talk about. You know what, I liked your show the other night. I can't try to remember what the heck it was you were talking about.
AI, transhumanism, robots, things like that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm hot on right now is this thing about what Trump had done in this Easter BS that he spouted out about how great these Jews were and everything, and what came to mind with me was, well, let's see here, pretty much everything that they have ever got from anybody, even when they were up in the Khazar area, they basically stole from anybody, and that includes to current times. I mean, we can go all through history, the whole history of Americana. What were we fighting against? We were fighting against the thievery of the banking of the Rothschilds. There's one, but then we go to some of the work that I did was like, the motion picture industry. They stole all that. You go watch a movie, yeah, look at here. Is that you calling her or her calling here?
I tried to call out to her, so she might have accepted the invitation or answered the call. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Well, let's see. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. Well, how are you?
Yes, here I am. I'm doing fine.
Okay, well, hey, I'm glad you're on. I thought, oh my goodness, not another one where I'm like, okay. Hey, I'm glad you're here. So no worries. Okay.
I'm glad to be here.
Look at everybody's glad and excited, and as a matter of fact, the producer of the show, he says you can roll right through the commercial break, so we got a straight hour to go through here, Cynthia. We had a little bit of time. Look at it. I already introduced you, and everybody knows who you are, and actually, if they don't, they will by the end of this show. So, Cynthia, what were we talking about last night? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh, last night was such a long time ago for me. I just got some devastating news that the wife of a friend of mine has stage 4 lung cancer and the chemo is killing her. And so, you know, medicine is a profit center in the United States. These, yeah. Under neoliberalism, which is the form of economic organization that we have, which is capitalism on steroids, everything becomes a profit center. And so people's sickness becomes a way for other people to make profit, and that's the situation with cancer. So I was just giving some advice from my hard-earned experience about what my friend's wife needs to do immediately to be able to arrest the growth of the cancer.
Yeah, my mom died from it, from the chemo. She was going to die.
Oh, my gosh. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I absolutely do. And it was actually the chemo that it kept sending her into a coma, and the electrolytes and everything it did to her. And I'm like, yes. You know, I would have rather – there's a story behind that that I don't need to go into here. But we had been exiled from each other for about 36 years. And I met her, and it was a whole thing for me, a big deal for me to go and meet this gal. And, well, lo and behold, when I met her, she was terminal cancer. And so she started her first batch of chemo, which she couldn't make it through it, even the first one. And it had already anesthetized, or whatever, however you say it. And so in the second one, she ended up in and out of the hospital, and I'd go. I was down in Ventura, and she was up in Modesto. It's about 325 miles, and I had a. I rode my bike, my motorcycle, everywhere I went. Especially, it's quick to get on it and go. So I already always had a pack, you know, ready to go, and no matter what, if I got a phone call, I was on the bike and blasting it up there to. Because I didn't know how much time I was going to get to spend with her. It was amazing what happened between me and her. But, yeah, that chemo killed her. And now I got a little sister who's struggling with the fact that she screwed her liver up with drugs and alcohol, basically. And I talked about this. I know you hadn't had a chance to check out this video of mine on Pedogate. My little sister was molested by a man that my mother married, and this asshole, as it turned out, I didn't find out about this part until I started the video, the production of this video, but I find out through my brother, who knows all this stuff, that the guy was a convicted pedophile, and my mom and that my mom brought this guy in the house. And it was bad. He was, you know, an alcoholic, and anyway. So let's get on to. You know, I think you have an idea that one of my main things that I've been focusing on, Cynthia, was how do we fight this swamp from the outside? You know well. Explain to everybody what you went through with the Dying Corps thing, the military drills, and going after these guys. Right after, what was that, 2005?
Yeah.
When you were grilling down on Rumsfeld. Everybody, Cynthia is the former congresswoman, and she's my hero. Anyway, so go into that a little bit for us, will you, please?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just that I understood all of the tricks and the lies and the manipulation, the propaganda. I mean, you name it, and it wasn't above the United States government to do it if it was unsavory. And I went into the Congress recognizing a lot of that, and that's because of my experience in the civil rights movement. And then, you know, in my academic pursuits, I studied international relations. And so probably the most transformational book for me that I've read, I talk about this in Ain't Nothing Like Freedom, the book that I wrote about my years in Congress, was the book In Search of Enemies by John Stockwell, who was the first CIA whistleblower. And then, of course, because of my experience in the civil rights movement and the fact that I'm a Southerner, I'm a proud Southerner, and I understand the South, and I understand reconciliation, and I also understand transformation, because what had happened in the South was reconciliation and transformation. And that was necessary on an individual level as well as on a societal level. And but from my experience in the civil rights movement, it led me directly into an interest in the counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO. And so I was fascinated by what I began to read in the COINTELPRO papers. I bought the book by Ward Churchill, outlined everything there with documents. Then I found the documents online. One young man put the documents online. And from that, then I read the Frank Church report, the Intelligence Committee report, the Select Committee, that was created after COINTELPRO became known about. And it became known because some real true leftists, they're talking about the left today, but that's not what the left, the true left, would never support bombing another country and destroying countries and crimes against the peace and torture and all that's going on now. So what the media are hyping is the left. No, it's not the left. These young people broke into an FBI office, and they were able to find documentation. And that's how we came to know about a lot of what happened, was because of those young people who broke into the FBI. Normally, the FBI breaks into the homes of progressives and leftists, right? No, not this time. They broke into the FBI and walked out with the papers, all kinds of papers. So one of the lessons of the Frank Church Committee is that what the United States government did abroad, eventually it always brought back home.
I was talking about that earlier. Go ahead.
Yes. And so whether it's oppression or repression or silencing or whatever it was, people were forced to pay the price.
So, okay, let's go ahead and go into a little bit of your work on 9/11 and Dying Corps, trial trafficking, Haiti. It's going to be kind of, you can kind of play with it how you want, Cynthia. 9/11, Dying Corps, child trafficking, Haiti, Laura Silsby, Clinton Foundation. You know that whole scenario, so go ahead and go at it for us.
Well, I'm not so sure what that was that you said. You Dying Corps, I think you mentioned. If what I heard was You mentioned DynCorp, and you want to discuss a little bit more about that.
Listen to this once again. It's kind of like little bullet points, but I kind of put everything into one thing. And then I want to toss it up with you after you go through your bit about it. You know these topics very well. 9/11, DynCorp, child trafficking, Haiti, Laura Silsby, the Clinton Foundation. Attack it however you wish.
Okay, let's see. So 9/11, DynCorp, child trafficking, Haiti, the Clinton Foundation. Is that right?
Yeah, and I threw Laura Silsby in there just for the heck of it, because we did talk a little bit about her last night. And it kind of does touch with the whole, kind of like how DynCorp was promoted or gave a reward. And kind of sort of same with Laura Silsby. Which this is just, you can't make this stuff up, my goodness. Go ahead.
Well, 9/11, well, we know what 9/11 was, so the story around 9/11 is a lie. DynCorp, well, we know that DynCorp has a history of trafficking in women and little girls, and more than likely they haven't changed one bit. Especially since the CEO of DynCorp, is my understanding, is now a member of the administration a member of the Trump administration.
Yeah, and that's Steve. What's his name? Steve Feinberg.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, go
and
ahead.
You've got child trafficking. Well. The poor children of Haiti don't get a break because they're stolen like crazy. And we just had, 33 about 2 weeks ago taken.
Again?
And the Haitian authorities. Haitian authorities stepped in. This was one that Glenn Beck announced. And I don't get that at all. How can Glenn Beck announce when a raid for child trafficking is about to take place? Now, you tell me about that. And then Laura Silsby, of course, was one of those child traffickers that was tracked into Haiti, and she was arrested by Haitian authorities for stealing 33 kids. So that's Laura Silsby, and then you've got the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, and Laura Silsby, that wasn't the first time. The time where she spent 6 months in jail, got rescued by the Clintons. Go ahead into the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, well, she got rescued by Hillary Clinton, so that lets you know that that kind of behavior goes all the way up to the top, something that we shouldn't be surprised about. So when you're talking about 911, DynCorp child trafficking, Haiti Clinton Foundation, Laura Silsby, it's nothing but corruption of the worst sort. And yet, it continues to thrive.
Did you know that Tillerson and Trump both was... donating money to the Clinton Foundation during that period of time?
No, but I mean, you know, so what? If they were donating money to the Clinton Foundation, it doesn't really mean anything because they're all corrupt, and they were all corrupt, and they were all in bed with each other. Well, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I want to try to take you down a little walk on some of my research.
Okay.
There's this one guy that I talk about, and I'm not sure if you're aware of him or not, but he's been kind of in the, I guess, in the shadows, you can say. And we're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein and his Mossad girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell. But we're talking about another one that's directly involved with Trump. And I've talked about him in a couple of different films that I did. And he basically was the guy that was handling Melania.
Who?
Melania Trump. This guy's name is Paolo Zampoli. The guy's name is Paolo Zampoli. He was made...
I'm not getting what you're saying.
His name is Paolo, P-A-O-L-O. Last name...
Oh, Paolo. Okay.
Paolo Zampoli, Z-A-M-P-O-L-L-I, I think. So, Paolo Zampoli.
Okay, Zampoli.
Yeah, he met Melania Trump when she went to Milan. That's where he's from. And it's not me saying this, but it is actually people from Slovenia who said that she was a hooker and that she was working for Paolo Zampoli as an escort. He's the one that brought her into the States. He's the one that also introduced Melania to Trump at the Kit Kat Club. That's the actual place. He was throwing some bigwig party, and you know, on the streets. Now that's where I'm from. On the streets, you say, "Oh, model or any kind of crap like that." We're like, "Oh yeah, right, hooker." You know, I lived in Hollywood, and you'd hear that stuff all the time, especially in Hollywood. So I'm like, you know, I just kind of go down that thing and go, "Yeah, right." So, here's the funny thing. While they made Bill Clinton, what was his role? Didn't they make him the ambassador or some kind of crap like that to Haiti during the whole debauchery that Clintons were doing down there when they were supposed to be helping the Haitian people? You recall?
Okay, I was just checking out this information on Paolo Zampoli. Yeah.
They made Bill Clinton the, I don't know if it was the ambassador or something like that, to Haiti. The UN did. He was a UN ambassador or something of that nature to Haiti while they had immediately set up the Clinton Foundation to accept the donations, I guess you could call it, for the Haitian people, which they didn't get any of it, or very little. Trump's taking you down somewhere I don't know if you've ever thought about, but this is where my work took me. Now, they made Paolo Zampoli the ambassador to, guess where? The Dominican Republic.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I don't know, that's kind of weird. You know, the guy that introduced Trump to her, or whatever, and they made him the ambassador to Dominican, and they got this little, you know, look at, if you're, here's where I see it. If you're a pimp, you're a sex trafficker. Agree?
I guess I haven't really
thought about it.
Dwelt in the life of a pimp. You know, it's not exactly where I go.
I hear you.
I'm more interested in policy, you know.
So, anyway, okay. Then, okay, here's another one. We don't have to dwell on that. I like to get people to wrap their mind around that one because, to me, it's important. But so I know that Tillerson and Trump or ExxonMobil under Tillerson was donating to the Clinton Foundation. Trump was donated to the Clinton Foundation. Then we go to the next little line on my thing here. Bannon, Mercer, Kushner, Cambridge Analytica, and how these guys tie together. As it turns out, Kushner's the one that hired Cambridge Analytica via Robert Mercer, and in on that little jewel of a package, they got Bannon. who is part of the CMP. Do you know what that is? Council for National Policy. Are you aware of that?
Mm-mm.
Actually, I'll tell you who. Kyle, you want to chime in on that one a little bit?
No, I'd rather not dwell on that. Nick has done a number of shows people can check out in the archives. I was hoping maybe we'd hear more from Cynthia about her treatment in Washington, how hard it was to run a campaign, and how she was denied finances to do so. Yeah, I think that would be great to hear.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and go into that then, Cynthia. Let me ask you this. How did you feel when you were getting the runaround, and you knew you were getting the runaround? Well, we've all seen your videos on your grilling of the culprits or the usual suspects, and how did that make you feel? Just starting off point of how they were kind of giving you the runaround. They never gave you any documents. Start off there, will you?
Well, I'll start with what happens when you learn the nature of the beast. And so at first, you're very excited because, of course, you think that you've been elected to actually represent your constituents, and you think that you're going to do great things for your constituents. Well, I was able to do great things for my constituents, but then... in the area of as long as you stick to I want to get a bridge, I want to get money for a bridge, or I want to get money for a road, that's fine. So that's a very transactional kind of existence. So I'm going to give you this, you're going to give me that. I will vote for this bill if you put this in it, that kind of thing. However, I had different ideas, which is why I was so challenging to everyone, whether it was Michael Chertoff, when I asked him why he shouldn't be arrested for negligent homicide in the case of Hurricane Katrina. Everyone knows about Donald Rumsfeld, Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell. They all got that treatment from me. And so the problem is that our elected representatives basically are satisfied with the transactional aspects of the institution or the political system that we have, rather than looking at the needs of the people and transforming the system to satisfy the needs of the system. So I was more transformational when I was there. And transformation is not something that one can do alone. And so it's not an accident, I believe, that people are just now talking about the questions that I raised 12 years ago. We're talking about 2005, and it's now 2017. So 12 years have passed, and now people are talking about vaccines, which of course was one of my issues, talking about sex trafficking, which was one of my issues, talking about organ trafficking, which was one of my issues, talking about corruption in the Pentagon, which was one of my issues. People don't really talk about the corruption that's there in the Pentagon yet. Talking about putting America first, which was basically my issue, instead of putting Tel Aviv and the needs of Israel first. So I was 12 years ahead of my time. And so now, how do I feel? Well, I feel, you know, it's great that people have caught up with where I was 12 years ago, but look at what's been wasted during this interim 12 years. If I had still been in Congress, able to press those issues 12 years ago and get resonance from the people, get support from the people, we would be so much farther along down this road that, but I think my timing was off because 12 years ago, people weren't ready to hear what I was trying to say, and they definitely weren't ready to hear it from this black woman from Georgia.
Yeah. So,
I have a quick question. Do you think you might ever think about running again? Perhaps 2020 for president. I think a lot of people might be ready then to vote for you. And it would be very much a historic run. And I think, honestly, this could be something really to consider. And I'm sure you've had people perhaps saying this to you. So I wanted to see if this is in the works.
Well, it's not in the works right now, but of course I've got a whole lot more people who are aware of the work that I was doing 12 years ago now than they were back then. And of course, you know, the media has been totally discredited. So the media were able to paint me as this anti-Semitic bigot who hated white people, who, I mean, you know, if you name the boogeyman, they were able to paint me as that, whatever your boogeyman might happen to be. And people literally believed the lies rather than, you know, one thing they could have done was just pick up the phone and call me, right? I'm in Congress, you know? They could have called. They could have attended a town hall meeting. They could have listened to what I said. But no, they didn't. They literally believed Bill O'Reilly, who has now turned out to be a serial sexual harasser. That man can't keep his pants on. And you would think that, you know, he's got a wife and kids. And so you would think that he would have some scruples and some values and some principles about his own behavior, and yet he's running around trying to hit on this woman, trying to hit on that woman. They cuss at Fox. They strip them and make them dress down anyway, almost wearing no clothes at all. You want to talk about... Let's talk about the way in which women are portrayed on Fox and the other channels, news channels followed, in order to get a following. So we've dumbed down the people to the lowest common denominator. Listen to the music, listen to the culture, look at what's on television. This is Hollywood and it's entertainment. And so look at what's being force-fed to us, and the only way to salvation is to turn off the television and stop praising icons and personalities and get back to recognizing our own values and our own principles, which is something that I've done recently as a result of the convoluted politics in the U.S. And so the language is convoluted, the identifications are convoluted, so that you've got the mainstream media talking about the left, and who are they calling the left? They're calling the left people who supported Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton isn't left. People who support wars and the destruction of whole countries, that's not left. The people who support crimes against humanity and crimes against the peace and torture, that's not left. So let's get back to the nomenclature, the appropriate nomenclature for our political behavior. And that's what I tried to do when I took a values inventory of myself. And I said, okay, so now they're calling supporters of Hillary Clinton the left. That's not the left, because Hillary Clinton is about as right as you can get, and wrong. And so therefore, I took a look at myself and I asked myself, what's important to me? Truth is important to me. Just give me the facts. I have a brain and I can figure out the rest for myself. In fact, that's why Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, all the rest of them, they would call in advance to my congressional office and ask me, what's Cynthia interested in, before they would come to the relevant committee, because it was my questioning that was the most rigorous and the most severe, because I understood my function as a member of Congress. I understood checks and balances, separation of powers. I understood that the power started with the people when they voted and then went through Congress, and from Congress went to the executive branch. I understood all of that, and my responsibility as a member of Congress to make sure that the policies set forward by the Congress were actually applied and executed in the executive branch. I understood that. And so that questioning that I did of all of those people that is now 12 years later celebrated was my responsibility. 535 members of Congress should have been doing that, standing up for their right to create policy and their right to make sure that the policy they created was carried out effectively and efficiently by the executive branch. So it wasn't unusual. I mean, it should not have been unusual what I did, but unfortunately it was. And that's because, from my experience, what I learned is that people settle. People settle for what they have been told was important for them to have, rather than critically thinking about what it is that I need as an American taxpayer and who is going to give that to me. And then we were herded in or corralled into separate cages. One cage had a big D on it and was painted blue, and then another cage was painted red. And so then we were herded into both of those cages, but we didn't know or notice at the time that the electronic doors that opened and closed both of those cages were actually controlled by the same people, the Wizard of Oz. Okay? But now what we know is that the wizard has no clothes. The wizard is just a man. It's a group of people who operate, and they operate on both sides of the aisle. So it's really dysfunctional politically for us to tie ourselves to an identity like we're a member of a tribe. Oh, I'm a Democrat. I'm always going to be a Democrat. I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I'll vote for a yellow dog if that's what, you know, the Democratic nominee, that's where the yellow dog Democrat comes from. And so that is politically predictable behavior. And that's what the cabal that has taken over the deep state of the U.S., that's what they desire, politically predictable behavior. I was very unpredictable. I was on the Democrats and I was on the Republicans, because I thought my charge was to represent the people in my district first, the people of the United States secondly, and I was not willing to accept to swear an oath of allegiance to another country, Israel.
Talk about that one.
And care about that country more than I cared about Stone Mountain, Georgia. That's why my father asked the question, what does Israel have to do with Stone Mountain, Georgia? I represented Stone Mountain, Georgia. But what I learned, and what now the country has learned as a result of the Trump campaign, is that one must love Tel Aviv first before one is able to even become a lover of Stone Mountain, Georgia, or Peoria, Illinois, or any place else. You got to love Israel first. And that's why you had so many members of Congress talking about, well, I don't know what America First means. They didn't know what America First meant, because they had sworn their allegiance to Israel first.
What was that other one you were talking about earlier in one of your earlier talks, where it wasn't the pledge, it was what was that other one?
Yeah, it's the pledge.
No.
The pledge, and then, you know, okay.
When you were talking about how they caught the Mossad in, remember I was asking you about that last night.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's what I've never really talked about. But it would be very interesting to get the name of that freshman representative at the time who pointed out that there were strangers, there were non-members in the members-only briefing after September 11th. Those were probably Mossad agents. They had been invited there, we learned later, by Representative Tom Lantos. Lantos was the icon for AIPAC. Any legislation that was pro-Israel went through Lantos, and so Lantos was that person. Now you have Lindsey Graham, who is one of those persons who unthinkingly, unflinchingly, you've got John McCain. On the House side, it would be hard to say who on the House side, because you got so many on the House side who are the pro-Israel people.
I remember what it was.
The Israel first people, I should say.
Talk about the talking points. Remember, that's what it was. There was a talking point.
Yes, and we were given talking points after September 11th. That's part of the problem is that we've got members of Congress now, to bring it full circle to where I started, we've got members of Congress now who stick strictly to the talking points. If you stay within the talking points and then you're, you know, interested in getting a road paved or a bridge built, then very transactional in your representation, then everything will be fine. And if you just stick to those talking points. But the moment you use your brain and start thinking and analyzing, well, why didn't that happen? For example, the National Transportation Safety Board kicks into action every time there's an accident of any sort and has the kind of power to make airlines, if it's an airline crash, they can make airlines change their design so as to prevent a recurrence of that particular failure that may have caused that crash. And so the strangest thing for me was that the National Transportation Safety Board didn't kick into action to investigate what happened with the four plane crashes. And then the Pentagon, of course, another just bit of issue of critical analysis, is that the Pentagon, the people of the U.S. have invested trillions of dollars in a military and an intelligence infrastructure that failed four times on one day.
Yeah,
that's one thing about 11. So the question is, how did that happen? We never had an answer to that question, a satisfactory answer to that question. And then, secondly, that the Pentagon, what is the Pentagon going to do in the South China Sea when the whole world knows that the Pentagon can't even protect its own building from an incoming, I don't know if it was a cruise missile, an airplane, or what it was. But whatever it was, it attacked the Pentagon, and the Pentagon couldn't even protect itself. So what are you telling me about Pentagon going in and being ready to fight the Chinese in the South China Sea? It's not going to happen. And if it does, the United States is going to get beaten severely.
Yeah. Yep.
Because everything has become a profit center, including our defense. the defense of the United States is no longer U.S. defense first. It's let me make a profit first. Defense has become a profit center. Migration has become a profit center. War has become a profit center. So illness has become a profit center. We were just talking about the chemotherapy and what happened with my friend, and even what happened with your mother. Illness has become a profit center in the U.S. And so everything, we pay 10 to 15 times more and get far less than anybody else does in our healthcare system, because it's a profit center for just about everybody, but probably the biggest profiteers are the insurance companies.
Well, and
banks. What Obamacare did, pardon me?
No, go ahead.
And what Obamacare did was basically provide health insurance for everyone, fattening the frog for the snake, as I put it.
Yeah.
Because the insurance lobby doesn't make one person well, but they give a lot of money to the members of Congress. And so you can get a bill to provide insurance, but that is not health care. What the people need is health care. And what they think they're paying for is health care. And so I always make this distinction when I'm talking to people who support Obamacare. I say, you don't have health care. You don't have health care. You got health insurance. But what you need is health care. You need to be able to go in and talk to your doctor and get treated from your doctor. And you don't need an insurance bureaucrat telling you what you can and cannot have in terms of treatment, or that you got to have this treatment before you can have that treatment. That's up to your doctor. So everything has become a profit center in the U.S. under neoliberalism. Education is a profit center. So
yep.
I got my PhD, but I'm $138,000 in debt to get my PhD, to get one degree. That's a house. That's somebody's home. I'll be paying till I die, just because I wanted to get an education so that I could think even more critically than I was taught to think in my elementary, high school, undergrad, graduate school, and eventually learning to think even more critically as a PhD student and now as a PhD holder.
Okay, hey, so, Cynthia, let me get you to segue into something for me. One of the things that I've been talking about is how to fight this beast from outside of the system. So say you don't decide to run for office again, and which I wouldn't blame you, but at any rate, so how two things. It's twofold. One would be how to get people to unite, and I think you talked about this and some stuff I really liked hearing. And also, how would you go about fighting this swamp or fighting the system from outside of the swamp?
Well, here's the thing. I'm sorry to say, but you have to have people on the inside. You've got to have people on the inside of the swamp. If you want to drain the swamp, you got to know where the plug is so you know where to plug it, pull it out. You got to know where the landmines are so you don't step on them. And honestly, it helps to have stepped on a few of those landmines so you know what they look like, so you can identify them. So the what we're seeing from the Trump administration is, man, I'm sorry. You know, the only thing I'm very happy to say is that Hillary Clinton is not in the White House. But that is not sufficient. That is not sufficient. The people of the United States went to the polls and voted, and they voted for someone who said there were not going to be any more regime change wars, that there were not going to be any more neoliberal trade pacts, that there was not going to be any more tension that could lead to World War III. And I believe that in large measure when the Trump campaign said that we were going to, that they were going to put the, time for me to, it's time, almost time for us to go as well. That they were going to put the people of the United States first. And we saw that in about the first 50 days, I guess, of the Trump administration, and then an abrupt 180 degree turn, an about face, a U-turn, a flip flop, as it were. And Trump is dropping bombs. He hasn't stopped dropping Obama's bombs or Bush's bombs. If you want to go all the way back, well, you can go all the way back to Bush's, Herbert Walker Bush's bombs. So,
yep, that's right.
The bombs are still flying. And so you've got to have people on the inside. And it's up to the people of the United States to figure out, okay, so now we did this. Let me tell you what Nita Lowey, who is one of those Israel firsters, she told me, Cynthia, and this is a quote, Cynthia, every vote has a consequence. Because I just started voting against, I was, me and Ron Paul, we were the two red votes up there voting no on all of that silly stuff that was being put forward. And until for Trump, there, for the about face, the flip flop, there must be a consequence. If there is no consequence, then there will be more about faces and more flip flops. And so, what does that require? That requires the, whatever you want to call it. I'm now saying, okay, if that's the left, then I'm the alt left. So it's time for the alt-left and the alt-right. We need to come together, because I think from what I have learned of my time that I've spent and invested with the alt-right is that they're against the wars too. They're against the regime change. They're against the depleting of the United States. They're also against the domination of the Federal Reserve. They're also against the debt state. So we have something in common, those of us on the alt left. If I have to coin a new phrase, then I'm the alt left, and I want to join with the alt right to see how we can hold the Trump administration accountable for what candidate Trump committed to in 2016. And make sure that at least on those issues that we agree on, and that's the, from the Federal Reserve and the wars, that at least on those issues, there is a consequence for flip-flopping. There is a consequence for U-turning. There is a consequence for betraying your words. So, you know, and ultimately, what will happen is that in the race to placate the other side with the bombs and all of that, well, all you do is hasten your rush to impeachment. That's all that happens. I have constantly said, as our time winds down, I have constantly said that one of the things that is impossible to do is transfer the ethics that are associated with being a business person to the ethics that are required in for governance. And we're seeing a complete lack of ethics, a complete lack of ethical behavior in the Trump administration. We're seeing that. And so that will, I predict, become a grounds for impeachment, that they are out of their league. Therefore, you've got to have somebody inside the swamp who understands the swamp, who understands the landmines, and most importantly, if you want to drain the swamp, you don't move your home into the swamp. You find out where the plug is so you can drain the swamp.
Hey, Cynthia, do us all a favor and tell everybody the best places to get a hold of you. And tell us, are you going to be doing your radio show again? Go ahead and finish out with that, okay, will you please? And by the way,
yes,
I'm so happy you came on, and we'll be inviting you back. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. The name of your show is Wordo Rants, and I was waiting for some ranting. But looks like I'm the one doing the ranting. Oh my gosh.
No, that's why I brought you here. I did plenty in the first hour.
People can find me on www.allthingscynthiamckinney.com. You just go there, and it's a work in progress, but that's my website. And it's pretty much got almost everything. It might not be in order, you know, but it's got a lot of stuff on there, and I'm constantly updating it. So visit me there. You can visit me on Facebook at Cynthia McKinney Official. If you leave off the official, then you're not going to get me. You're going to get somebody who has built the page for me, but that's not me. So Cynthia McKinney Official on Facebook. And then on Twitter, I'm a avid Twitterer, I guess you call it, or tweeter. And so you can find me under Cynthia McKinney at Twitter. So I'm really available on the internet and social media. I haven't gotten into that Instagram and Pinterest and all of those things yet. But I guess eventually I'll get there as well.
We got about a minute left. And so I want to tell you thank you so much for graciously giving me your time tonight, and the audience, of course. And I'll be actually sending you the link to the show so you can put it on your page as well. So look with that, everybody.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, everybody, I hope you enjoyed Cynthia McKinney. We'll get her back on. And Cynthia, thank you so much. And thank you so much for your courage and your hard work. We really appreciate folks like you. And I think that's about...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's about it. I think the show is about ready to end about any second now. But at any rate...
Thanks so much, Cynthia. Great hearing from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Set upon myself as the light fades and I set into myself. Some moments I'm carved by the deceit of desire, flickering shadows drawing self from the
Circus Maximus provides an in-depth analysis of geopolitics, historical events, social engineering, and the Kosher Nostra, who are attempting to bring about a global, technocratic, feudal system. Nick Spiro brings forth his passion and years of research, unveiling the esoteric agendas of the deep state, black operations, NGOs, think tanks, secret societies, ancient bloodlines, and controlled opposition movements behind the Jewish veil. Tune in live every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Renegade Broadcasting.